This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very good Thursday morning to you, Marlins Nation. Thanks for rewinding with us. Steven Strom here. The Marlins fight. They scratch, they claw, but they just come up short against the Atlanta Braves on Wednesday night. They score two in the ninth, end up losing in 10 innings, 4-3. As always, for the recap, here's your radio voice of the Miami Marlins, Kyle Seeloff.
That's a heartbreaker for the Marlins here tonight. This is the 10th inning show brought to you by Warner Hoffman, Greg and Garcia. Your trusted workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers. Braves in 10, 4-3 over the Marlins. They sweep this series. Marlins are 6-20. The Braves are 17-6. Marlins were down 3-1 in the top of the ninth inning. They tied the game, had runners at second and third with nobody out. That's where the game was lost. They came up empty after they got the two runs of the ninth. And the Braves get one in the 10th. So, Gabby, that's a tough pill to swallow. They had their chances. Credit to them for being resilient and fighting back. But, again, I think it's fair to say that's a game they should have won.
Here we go. Let's go back to the third inning where they had a guy on third with less than two outs. Let's go to the fourth inning where they had a guy on third with less than two outs. Let's go to that ninth inning where they had guys.
Third and fourth, by the way, at second when nobody out as well.
Right, second. And then they got over They had one out with a man on third. So they moved the guys over like they were supposed to do to play team baseball. They couldn't get the guy in. Then let's go to that ninth inning. They had back-to-back singles. Then you had Jazz with a single and an RBI. Then you have Josh Bell come up, hit that ground ball. That ball gets through. They have man on second and third with no outs. They already had, you know, tied that ball game up, and they couldn't get a run in. You cannot play that baseball style against a team like the Braves where you have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and not score those runs. You cannot say that it was anything on the pitching side of the baseball for the Marlins. I thought the Marlins pitched an outstanding series. They got swept, and I felt like the Marlins probably pitched the best that they've pitched all season against the best hitting team in baseball in the Braves. No question about it, up and down. They had the highest average, home runs, doubles, everything. They're up there in basically the top five in every single category. You have to play and you have to get those guys in, and it ended up haunting them there at the end. Yep. They shouldn't have even have gotten to that 10th inning. Should have been over in nine.
A 2-5 road trip wraps up for the Marlins, and they are swept by the Braves here in Atlanta, who are now 5-1 against them this season. Gabby, it's been great working with you, and we will do so again, my man, here soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. Sixto Sanchez went opposite of Reynaldo Lopez in this ball game tonight in the first run in the bottom of the first inning with runners on first and third base for Atlanta with nobody out, scored on a balk. And that's a balk because Sixto thought there was a runner at second base. The umpires need to get together. That's going to be a balk.
Yeah.
And Acuna's coming home, and Harris will go to second. And then with the Braves with one home there in the bottom of the first inning, and a man at second and a man at first with one out, Marcell Ozuna was at the plate. 1-0 Atlanta, first and second with one out. Ozuna swings and he hits it on a line. This is going to drop into left field for a base hit. Rounding third and scoring easily is Michael Harris, the second. An RBI single for Ozuna, who comes into the ballgame hitting .326, 2-0 Atlanta. But the Marlins would get one back with one out, nobody on in the top of the second inning. Reynaldo Lopez facing Jesus Sanchez. Here's a swing and a fly ball. This is hit high and deep to right field. You can forget about it. Jesus Sanchez has pummeled another, this time into the chop house. The scoreless inning streak is over. It's 2-1 Atlanta here in the second.
My
goodness. It would stay that way until the bottom of the third. Sixto Sanchez would depart with a man in scoring position with two outs. Burt Smith took over, and the first man that he was facing was Marcell Ozuna. One pitch is lined through the right side, and a base hit. Olsen's going to score, and that's why it should be an error. It's 3-1 Atlanta. And it would stay that way for quite some time, in fact, until the top of the ninth inning. Sixto Sanchez went 2 2/3, allowed 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Ronaldo Lopez went 7 innings for the Atlanta Braves, allowed a run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Joe Jimenez worked a scoreless 8th for Atlanta. Following Sanchez tonight, Birch Smith worked 1 1/3. Brian Hoeing worked 2 innings. Andrew Nardi worked 1. Calvin Fauché came on, worked a scoreless bottom of the 8th. This was still a 3-1 game going to the top of the 9th. Raisel Iglesias came on for Atlanta. He was 7-for-7 in save opportunities this season. The first 3 men all reached on singles. The bases were loaded. Nobody was out, and Josh Bell was at the plate. The 0-1, there's a ground ball hit to first. It's off the chest of Olsen. Everybody is safe, and the ball just rolled into the camera well. Unbelievable. 2 runs scored. We are tied here in the 9th.
Wow.
And unfortunately for the Marlins, after the E3 two-base error allowing 2 runs to score, Jesus Sanchez dribbled one back to Iglesias. Tim Anderson beat a ball into the ground at shortstop. Arcia came up firing to the plate to cut down the runner. Chisholm at home for the second out. And Nick Gordon struck out, and the Marlins came up empty any further there in the top of the 9th inning. Bottom of the 9th inning, Calvin Fauché had a strikeout to start it, and then a double by Duvall. Luke Williams pinch running at second. There was a walk to Darnold, and then Ronald Acuna Jr. bounced into a 5-3 double play. When we go to the top of the 10th inning, the runner at second base was Nick Gordon. Emmanuel Rivera grounded out to second. Gordon went to third. He was stationed there with one out. Christian Bethencourt was at the plate, and he bounced into a fielder's choice that went 5-2. The runner, Gordon, was thrown out at the plate. There was 2 outs and a man at first. A rise single. Bethencourt went to third. De La Cruz walked. The bases were loaded with 2 outs. Jazz swung and missed for strike 3. Bottom of the 10th inning. The runner at second was Ronald Acuna Jr. Tanner Scott came on for the Marlins. He threw 1 pitch, and then the second ended it. Here comes the 0-1. Harris swings, and he hits it deep. Left center field. Chisholm is on the run. Nobody's going to get there. Acuna's going to round third. He's going to score, and the ball game is over. Michael Harris II wins it for the Braves on 2 pitches here in the bottom of the 10th. Braves sweep this series. They take game 3 and extras 4-3. Marlins fall to 6-20. The Braves improve to 17-6 by sweeping the Marlins this week. 3 runs, 7 hits, no errors, 7 men left on for the Marlins. 4 runs, 10 hits, 1 error, 8 men left on for Atlanta. Minter the winner, Scott the loser. Minter's 4-1, Scott's 0-4. Total time of game, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Nearly 40,000 on hand to see this one here tonight. Again, the Marlins lose to the Braves. They get swept here in Atlanta. Final score tonight, 4-3. For the Marlins pitching staff, they struck out 10. That means that $250 will be donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative.
Okay, Kyle, thank you. Let's head down and listen to what Skip Schumacher had to say, get his reaction after the 4-3 loss and the sweep at the hands of the Atlanta Braves.
Skip, is a silver lining in a tough loss like this, the way your team fought back at the end?
Yeah, you love the fight back in the ninth inning against a really good closer, against, you know, arguably the best, you know, one of the best teams in the National League in the Braves. I'd love the fight back. It's just that's a tough loss. We've had a couple tough losses already this season, early in the season, and had chances, you know, all night with runners in scoring position. Just couldn't get that big hit.
In particular, in the ninth, after you guys score 2 runs, are there anything different you'd like to see from your hitter's approach in that situation?
Well, of course, because I'd like to score runs. So yeah, but we didn't score runs. They had a game plan, just wasn't executed. It's not lack of preparation or trying. We just didn't execute and hit the ball on the ground. Riley made a good play and got Gordon at home. But other than that, we hit the ball on the ground a little bit too much with runners in scoring position. And that's just what, you know, kind of happened late in the game.
Both plays at the plate, fine with them going, or you wish they kind of had maybe
which ones
The ninth and then the 10th.
So the contact play with Gordon, yeah, that's the ball. I mean, Riley made a diving play, spun and threw him out. I mean, that's a really good play. The contact play is a guy with one out with speed at first or speed at third. Is challenging when you have Arias at on deck and you have Gold Glove, you know, all around the infield. However, the next inning you have Acuna in the middle of the order coming up. So if you're just playing for one run, it's also going to be tough with Acuna at second base starting the inning off the following inning. So, you know, you're trying to do the best you can to score multiple runs. And, you know, we obviously didn't, you know, even score one run. So what was the other one that you were talking about?
The Gordon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're both contact plays. So, you know, when you have speed at third base, you know, you try to do what you can to score runs. And, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't good enough. You know, we just try to get the ball in the air. You know, that's the best way we can to avoid that.
Going back to Sixto, in the first, a little bit of everything, do you think that could have been maybe a little bit of nerves, or did you see something else?
Of course, yeah. The game sped up a little bit on him. He hasn't started a game in 3+ years. And, you know, there are a couple of things that sped up. You know, a comebacker that probably should have been a double play that he went to first on. We had a called pick that we have a play that should be put on at first base. And, you know, obviously he went to second, and that shows you that the game sped up on him. The next couple innings, I thought he actually looked his best in the third inning. He's throwing 98 miles an hour with a slider and a changeup, which is super encouraging. Felt really good after 50-plus pitches. So there was some positives that came out of his, you know, abbreviated start. But, yeah, the first inning, you know, when you don't play clean baseball against a really good team, stuff like this happens. And then in the end, it comes back and haunts you a little bit. So, yeah, you got to do the best you can to play clean baseball against, you know, one of the best teams.
Remark on what you saw from the Braves starter tonight. Obviously, he's been pretty strong all year, and it seemed like it was more of the same tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's a converted, you know, closer and, you know, back-end reliever. And it, you know, we had a tough time picking up his slider. We knew he had a good fastball, but his slider to a lot of the righties were giving us trouble. And then the fastball at the top of the zone was giving us trouble. So, yeah, he did really good, you know, especially with the runners in scoring position. And, you know, we had our chances. We just couldn't get that big hit.
Iglesias in the ninth too. It seemed like you guys were seeing him pretty well there those first three at bats. You know, what was the difference there between, you know, with him and the rest of the game?
Well, I mean, we just saw the ball up and we got it in the air for the most part. Again, when you hit the ball on the ground with the runners in scoring position, it's tough with the way their defense plays on the other side. So he made pitches when he had to, and you know, we couldn't capitalize on you know, some of the stuff that was going on. But I thought we were going to score more than what we did, especially after one. You know, we thought it was going to be our turn with the ball off, you know, Olsen's chest. And, you know, we just couldn't get more than what we thought we were going to get.
After 6-0, just the pitching performance you got out of the bullpen and just overall in the series too, not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, when you give up four runs today, you have a chance to win. And, you know, our starting pitching did a really, really good job this series. The bullpen was outstanding. Fauché, again, big spot, gets Acuna to ground out and double play, and Arias with a huge pick at the time of the game. Hoeing was fantastic. So, yeah, up and down, you know, that's what you expected kind of coming out of spring. And, you know, Nardi feels like he's back. And so I feel really good about the guys that are coming out of the bullpen. And I felt like they were going to, you know, right the ship eventually. They just it just took a couple weeks. But I feel like they're kind of settled in the role. Birch Smith did a really good job as well. So, yeah, they kept us in the game, allowed us to fight back. We just couldn't get that big hit at the end.
Jesus Sanchez gets a hold of another one. I think he has 6 hits on this road trip. Just how nice is it to be able to finally give him some regular at-bats and see him produce as a result?
Yeah, he produced. It was a big hit. You know, got us within one run at the time. But again, we didn't play clean baseball behind him. So, you know, the kind of an error that allowed Olsen get to second, then another base hit that allowed Olsen to score a run. So, yeah, but I know Jesus is going to hit. He's going to hit righties. The numbers are going to be what they should be at the end of the year because he's going to really hit righties. And I think he's going to hit lefties too when he gets the opportunity. He's going to be a complete hitter. I think he just misread the ball and right. And, you know, he's got to do everything you can to keep that in front to allow, you know, have to be multiple hits to score a run. And again, when you allow kind of extra bases or extra outs, you know, good teams capitalize.
We saw a lot of conversations between Jazz and the umpires there towards the end of the game. What was that about?
It was in the sixth inning, I think. The umpires missed the call. I mean, it was the Jazz called the timeout. Lopez stayed in the set position. He's supposed to break his hands and then come back into the set position or whatever he wants to do to deliver the next pitch. He came set. Jazz called timeout. Jazz got back in the box. He stayed in the set position with his hands at his belt and delivered the pitch. You're supposed to have your hands separate with a guy on first or second base. It was just a missed call, and umpires missed it. That's what happened.
Sixto Sanchez opened. You could say he started, but probably in our terms, he opened against Atlanta on Wednesday night. Went 2 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 punch-outs. He's going to get one of those earned runs taken back, but as of right now, it stands at 3 earned runs. Let's hear what he had to say after his first start in a very long time, translated by Will Nadal.
Overall, just take us through the emotions and the feeling of getting your first start in quite some time.
Explícanos un poco, ¿verdad?, acerca de las emociones y el sentimiento que tenía de abrir un juego por primera vez en, bueno, hace bastante tiempo.
Nada, primeramente nos sentimos bien, gracias a Dios, me sentí bastante contento ya que tenía más de 4 años que no hacía una salida ya, y verdad que entré a trabajar, sabía dar lo mejor de mí, ayudar al equipo.
First of all, I would say I felt pretty good. Thanks to God, I had the opportunity to go out there and get my first start for what seems like the first time in 4 years. But I really felt good out there, and I mean, I'm just happy that I got the opportunity.
What would you attribute just the wacky first inning to?
¿A qué tú le atribuyes esa primera entrada que tuvo como un poquito, cómo fue?
Sabe, yo digo también, sabe, también se la dediqué a la mamá de mi papá, sabe, que en el 2020 se me murió yo pichando contra Atlanta, también a mi primo, y nada, y seguí trabajando, sabe, da lo mejor de mí.
Yeah, I just dedicated that the game and that first inning to my mom and my dad. You know, I lost her in 2020 before starting. Antes de abrir contra Atlanta, ¿verdad? Before I started against Atlanta. So, and also for my cousin.
Did you feel like maybe in the first inning things kind of sped up a little bit? And as you said, obviously, pretty emotional first inning for you.
Sientes que esa primera entrada como que el juego se te aceleró un poco a ti, y como tú mencionas que era un juego como bastante emocional para ti.
Sabe, yo digo que sí, me puse un bando un poquito rápido, pero traté de calmarme un poco y, sabe, y tirar la bola.
I would say so, definitely. I just think at that moment I just tried to, you know, slow the game down a little bit and just try to make throws.
And how were you able to get back on track for the second and third?
¿Cómo pudiste luego enderezarte para la segunda y tercera entrada?
Sabe, traté de, sabe, como te dije, de calmarme un poco, estaba un poco rápido en el primer inning. Y nada, y salí a competir, de tratar de dar lo mejor, ¿sabes? De competir y de seguir ayudando al equipo.
Like I said, I just tried to slow things down right after that first inning and just go out there and compete. Just compete and give my all for the team.
Does it feel different starting compared to relieving? Like there's a different adrenaline rush or maybe a sense of pride or something?
¿Sientes que hay algo distinto abrir un juego en vez de salir del bullpen? ¿Sientes algo como un tipo de orgullo o algún tipo de emoción cuando abres versus cuando sales como relevista?
Sabe, yo trato de hacer el trabajo del lado parte, sabe, pero yo como estoy acostumbrado a abrir, sabe, siento como que abriendo me siento un poco mejor, caliento bien, sabe, el brazo se me siente mejor.
I honestly try to give my all either role that I'm in, if it's starting or if it's coming out as a reliever. But I would say as a starter, definitely there's a different type of adrenaline. I think that I can prepare much better. I think that I'm going to be warmer out there when I'm going to go out to pitch.
What happened on that balk there in the first inning that allowed Acuña to score?
¿Qué pasó en ese balk en la primera entrada que permitió que Acuña anotara?
Sabe, como estaban hablando, sabe, de que me sentía un poco rápido, sabe, el viraje era a primera, pero fue un error mío, sabe, y me viré para segunda.
Like we were talking about, the game sped up on me there in the first inning. It was one where I was going to pick off to first base, and I made a mistake, and I just turned towards second.
Starting compared to relieving, how did you use your pitches this time around? It seemed very four-seam, slider heavy, fewer change-ups. Like, was that part of the plan? Is that sort of...
Hablando un poco acerca de ser una abridora, venir a ser relevista, ¿cuál fue el plan tuyo en cuanto a los lanzamientos que estabas utilizando? Parecía que había mucho recta 4 costura, también el slider.
Sabe, yo digo también, sabe, que me preparé mentalmente, sabe, tenía años que no tiraba el fourth swing. Y nada, salí a practicarlo, sabe, en el long toe, en el bullpen, para tratar de hacer ajustes y tirarlo en el juego.
I just tried, like we talked about, that game planning. I just tried to incorporate that. It had been a while since I had thrown the four-seam fastball, so it was one where I was just trying to, you know, get used to it and throwing it, and I was going to use it.
What will be your biggest takeaway from the start? What can you take away moving forward?
¿Qué es lo que tú crees que puedes llevarte de esta salida hacia, para ti hacia el futuro?
Sabe, yo digo que eso es aprender más, sabe, aprender de los errores que uno comete y sabe, y de seguir trabajando.
Just keep learning from my mistakes and continue to work hard.
Marlins are off today on this Thursday. They're right back at it, though, on Friday night. It's the first of four with the Washington Nationals. Jesus Luzardo will toe the rubber for Miami. It's going to be a 7:10 first pitch. Marlins on deck at 6:40. We hope you can join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.